Revival. Now, Webster's Dictionary will tell you it means restoration to life, consciousness, vigor, strength.
Awakening, the act of waking from sleep, or a recognition, realization, or coming into awareness of something. Revival.
Awakening. Northampton, Massachusetts, 1730s.
Jonathan Edwards begins to preach, followed by George Whitfield.
Whitfield spoke to thousands in the open air about the concept of spiritual rebirth,
while Edwards warned of sinners in the hands of an angry God. Revival swept the colonies. Countless lives began to change. Churches began to change. And history remembers this as the first great awakening. September 23rd, 1857, at lunchtime in New York City, a layman named Jeremy Lanfear kneels to pray.
America was in spiritual, political, and economic decline. There was financial panic and rumors of a civil war, and so Lanfear invited thousands to a rented hall on Fulton Street to pray. Six people showed up. Just six people. But those six people began to pray. 3 weeks later, 40 people were praying. Within 6 months, 10,000 people were gathered daily for prayer. Over the next 2 years, over 1 million Americans out of a total population of 30 million put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This became known as the Great Prayer Revival.
In the early 1970s, the cover of Life magazine featured over 80,000 young people gathering for Jesus at an event in Dallas called Expo 72. A year before, the cover of Time magazine read The Jesus Revolution.
Because something undeniable was happening.
Something unexplainable was happening. Something was sweeping young people all over America. It became known as the Jesus Movement, and accounted for more baptisms in a single year than any other year in the history of the Southern Baptists.
400,000 people were baptized
in 1 year. The first great awakening, the great prayer revival, the Jesus movement. What's the link?
What is the common denominator? What is the first step?
How do things like this happen?
It's prayer.
The first step is always prayer.
History is clear.
The record is undeniable. The blueprint is right in front of us. Every great move of God begins when His people pray.
Not ordinary prayer. Extraordinary prayer.
Unified prayer. Desperate prayer.
And so it's time.
It's time to pray. It's time to pray in repentance.
It's time to pray for reconciliation.
It's time to pray for personal renewal in our own lives.
It's time to beg God for spiritual awakening
in our time and in our generation right now.
God can do more in a moment
than we can ever do in a lifetime when His people pray. It's time to pray.
There's enough power here to go out and change the world. And we pray that this will be the beginning of a spiritual awakening that will sweep the world. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord.
Tonight, I'm just going to exhort you very briefly. I've entitled this message tonight, Firehouse Prayer, Reviving Our Hearts. For the next 2 weeks, I want to spend on revival. See, God's looking for people who will truly begin to pray. People with passion, pursuit, and persistence. A passion that won't be extinguished by offense. A pursuit that won't be stifled by opposition. And a persistence that won't be quenched by the lack of feelings. See, I want you to know today, 150,000 people died today and went to hell. What has been on your mind? What has been your concern for the day? See, I'm embarrassed because I've thought about money. I've thought about my job. I've thought about my feelings. I've thought about my marriage. I've thought about my happiness, my status, my favorite TV program or my sports program, and me. But you know what was on God's mind? The 150,000. What grips you? See, there's a movie that's going on right now, and some of you have seen it, called The War Room. It moves us from the living room into the closet. See, today I will say this to you. If you're not moved then God move me. If I'm not mourning for the lost, then God make me mourn. If I'm not motivated for the lost, then God motivate me. If this is your heart, it should be my heart. See, today our gospel is full of fun, favor, and freedom. The burden for the lost should still cause me to agonize, to anguish, and to cry out and to intercede. Amen. My prayer tonight is not that you would just be emotionally moved tonight, but that you would be so emotionally moved tonight that you would take what I tell you tonight and you would take it home to your closet. I want you to be motivated tonight for the 150,000 that died today. See, the war room is where the furnace is ignited. The war room is where the fire is stoked. The war room is where the flame is fanned. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, he's called. He was a megachurch preacher long before we had megachurches back in the 1800s. It says over his lifetime, he preached to over 10 million people, never using a microphone, all in the open air. It was a pleasant Sunday, and five college students were sightseeing in London when they decided to hear the famed C.H. Spurgeon preach. Arriving at the huge church, they sat on the steps and waited for the doors to open. While chatting among themselves, a man from the congregation came by and greeted them and engaged them in a pleasant conversation. After a while, seeing, he asked them, "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church?" The young men were not particularly interested, as the heating plant was not on the top of their list of things that they wanted to visit. Besides, it was fast becoming an extremely hot day in July. But they didn't want to offend the strangers, so they consented. The young men were taken down a stairway, down to a door that quietly opened, and their guide whispered, "This is the heating plant." Surprised, the students saw 700 people quietly bowed in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon to begin in the auditorium above. Softly closing the door, the gentleman then introduced himself. It was none other than Charles Spurgeon. When everything is going wrong, get into the war room. When everything is out of control, get into the war room. When the enemy is attacking, get into the war room. When everything is going great, get into the war room. Amen. What does it look like here? It may be on your face. It may be on your knees. It may be crying out. It may be on your belly. This day and age, with the give me gospel, get me gospel, and grace me gospel, I want a gospel that grabs me and changes and transforms me from the inside out. It calls my heart to action and attention, not just disappears in the wind. Yes, we can have joy unspeakable and contentment and peace and happiness. At the same time, I can be in anguish on my knees that spurs me to the throne of God and causes me to weep. Right. Amen. I'm talking tonight about firehouse prayer. It's crying out for the lost, the lukewarm, and the lazy. It's calling out to God for a changed heart. For me, repent of my own hardness of heart. Break me for my unconsideration for the lost. Break me for my selfish spirit that just wants to take over. Cause the Spirit of God to awaken me. Arise from my slumber and lift me from the dead. See, you're looking for things in your own life. You wanted a new encounter from God. You want to grow more spiritual. You want more of Him. You want to have the character makeover that God promises. I will tell you tonight, it is found in one place, the secret place, the war room, the inner closet, the firehouse, where we go into that closet. I ask you tonight, see, we don't need another Bible study. What we need is intimacy with God. See, character is forged in that room. Life's wounds are healing salve of God is applied in that room. Manna from heaven is given in that place. It's the exact amount. Spirit. spiritual growth is nurtured there. Tonight, I want you to dig in, dive in, and drench yourself in Him. Once you have tasted the all-sufficient One, nothing else will do. He is not a spiritual bellhop awaiting for our order. He knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what I need to go through. See, He's getting us ready for when real trouble strikes. He's shaking us about right now because it's life or death is coming. It's not this pretty little polite, polished adversary that we've seen in the past. See, He's getting us ready for a tsunami, a tidal surge of evil and wickedness that we have not seen for, that's only coming in these last days. See, I look in your faces tonight. Some of you just look like you got hit by a left hook. Some of you, you're wondering, what is He talking about? See, I say this tonight. I'm not ready yet for the whomping that the devil is getting ready to serve up in these last days. That's why I've got to get in that room. See, we can say I'm this, I'm that, look at my faith, when I'm really truly weak and feeble and crippled, unless I'm in that place right there. He's building up spiritual muscles. Some of us have rigor mortis already setting in. Some of us have spiritual atrophy in our muscles. Our spiritual muscles haven't been moved. But I'm about to have you move things, the Bible, He's telling us in these last days. He's moving us. He's going to shake us. Heaven and earth is going to shake. He says, I'm getting ready. I'm getting my church ready to rumble, ramble, and romp. But instead, we want to grumble, stumble, and stomp. He wants me to get my house in order. Cut off everything that's foolish, fleshly, and frivolous. If it's unnecessary, leave it. Jesus was telling His disciples this. He says, don't worry about what you take with you. In Luke chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, He said, and He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom and heal the sick. And He said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and don't even have two tunics apiece. I'm talking tonight about people who will get into the war room, who will get into the closet like we've never done before. See, it's in this place that everything is reset, recalibrated, and renewed. I don't want you just to come into this place and do it. I want you to take it there. That's the most important place. See, this is a dress rehearsal for the real place, for the real thing, where no one is watching except Him. Some of you would say tonight, well, Greg, I want to learn how to pray. Then I will say this to you, get in and do it. See, anything you've ever wanted to do, driving a car, riding a bike, you see how it looks. You watch somebody doing it. The only way to do it is then to put it into practice, to do it. The best way to learn how to pray is to pray. I don't have to teach you about it. I need you to just get in the closet and pray. That's where that spiritual awakeness will come. I've tried, Greg, and I don't feel anything. Good. You weren't supposed to. See, I thought that this place was going to be a spiritual high. No, it's going to feel dark, distant, and dreary. But hold on. He wants us to break through, break in, press in, push through. See, He hides Himself so we will pursue Him. The enemy puts up this emotional barrier that is meant to thwart off the mild, timid, and feeble attempts at getting close to Him. But once we're in, a whole new world opens. Once through the opposition, a whole new door is uncovered. We're going to a place for His eyes only. Isaiah 45:15 says, truly, you are a God who has been hiding Himself, the God and Savior of Israel. I ask you tonight, how bad do you want it? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, on my bed, night after night, I sought Him. whom loves my soul. I sought him, but did not find him. I must arise now and go about the city. In the streets and in the squares, I must seek him who my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. The watchman who makes the rounds in the city found me. And I said, have you seen him who loves my soul? Scarcely had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held on to him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mother's house. See, at the very beginning there, he says, on my bed night after night. The King James Version and the NIV say it like this, all night long or by night. But the actual better translation is this one where it says here, on my bed night after night. In my closet night after night. I persisted in prayer. I stayed the course. I found myself faithful by getting in there alone with him. She says there, I must arise. See, there is a diligence, a determination to go and look and press in. I must arise. I must seek. I sought. And when they're together, she says, I held on to him and would not let go. The word there actually means to seize. So there's actually, she's saying, I seize. I grab on and I hang on with all my heart. See, I'm talking tonight about firehouse prayer that won't be extinguished by offense, a pursuit that won't be stifled by opposition, a persistence that won't be quenched by the lack of feelings. I'm talking about getting into this place right here. Turn the lights off, Bo. I'm talking about getting into your closet. When no one's around and sees your hands raised. When no one hears you crying out. See, it's in this place right here where God meets us face to face. Do you want to know him? I'm telling you right now, he's saying this to all of us tonight. He's saying this to Greg. That which is coming is going to shake the heavens and the earth. The only way you will be able to make it, I'm telling you right now, is if you have spent time in this place. Coming in here, hollering and hooping won't do it. It's getting where his eyes only see us. You see, Greg, what does it look like in there? You know what? You may waller around on the floor the first couple times and just tell him all your troubles. That's okay. You can start right there. But eventually, he wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to commune with you. The only way that happens is when we get alone with him. You may get on the floor. You may waller around. You may get on your knees. You may lay on your back. It doesn't matter what it looks like. But I want people who've got on their knees and got a hold of God. Because I'm telling you guys. See, we think it's already done for us. He's already accomplished it on the cross, yes. But he's telling us, the only way you will persist in this dark time that's coming is if you spent time with me. You get alone with me. God is looking to raise up warriors right here in this place. That's the war room. I don't know what it looks like at your house. It may be on your front lawn. Mine is on my front slab of cement sometimes when I have to get loud. Sometimes it means I get quiet. I just lay down before the Lord. But other times it's on my face flat before him. Yeah, he wants to hear all my troubles. But he also wants to see me persist in him. He wants to hear me cry out for those who are lost. The 150,000 that are dying today. The 150,000 tomorrow. Let's all stand.
Away. to thirst. Awaken first love, come awake, and do as you did at first.
Heavenly Father, tonight, my prayer is, God, that you would awaken us. God, that you would awaken us from our slumber tonight. God, some of us, God, we haven't been to that place in a long time. God, tonight, some of us are being pulled and drawn back into that place with you right now. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit right now would just begin to draw us into that place with you. God, that you would do a work in us like only you can do. Heavenly Father, I just ask right now that you would awaken us, awaken our spirits to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, take us to that place. God, take us to that encounter with you. God, take us to that place with you where we haven't been in a long time. Some of us know what it looks like. God, you're drawing us even right now. Back to that place. Hallelujah.
have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. And one by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory.
Just sit back any longer, but God, tonight, that you would raise up an army in this house. God, that you would raise up an army of warriors. God, that would find themselves in that place, unrelenting. God, that they would find themselves persevering in you. God, I thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, tonight. God, raising up men and women, I pray tonight, God, that wouldn't just think about this in theory, but Lord, they'd be put it into practice. God, that their homes would become like firehouses. Men and women of God, powerful and effective in You. Ignite us tonight, God. Ignite us tonight, Lord, in our prayer closets. God, let us give You a try. Everything that we're searching for is found in You, the all-sufficient One. We thank You, Jesus. In Your name, amen.